Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
David, take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Aspirin.
I don't think I should. It turns out that is, they're frowning upon that. And I am so confused because
You and me both.
How could that hurt? How could a baby aspirin once a day, what could it do outside of, I can understand maybe screw up the good bacteria in your stomach. Maybe they're saying that it's
internal bleeding.
Or whatever. Yeah, right. If you're expecting to go into a duel with, Aaron Burr. I don't know.
Bring a machine gun.
But I mean, the point I'm getting at is that for years and years, this people literally claim this was saving their life. This is why they're still alive. And now, a journal comes out and says, no, wrong answer. How about you work on like cancer and stop telling us what, someone wasted a lot of time and resources to find out what we've been doing for years is no longer par for the course.
But this is what I think people are very, very frustrated by. All of the contradictory messages that we seem to get from the medical community. Now, what they're saying is if you do not have cardiovascular disease, taking a baby aspirin once a day isn't going to do anything for you. The advice, at least as I read these stories, the advice for people who do have cardiovascular disease, I'll raise my hand, is to continue with the aspirin regimen.
Okay, but so here's the question, though. Did anyone believe that this was reversing the chances of you getting cardiovascular disease? Or were they saying there are other things that you might not know you have because you haven't been tested for it? And if you are prone to a stroke or have strokes in your family or have had heart attacks in your family, this is going to prevent you from having one. I mean, blood thinner, that's it thins your blood. This is all supposed to be positive. What's the problem here?
Well, I'm trying to figure that out myself. But what's really, I guess what bothers me the most about this is, whom do you really depend on and whom can you trust for proper news about what to do and what not to do with your health?
Dr. Phil.
Other than Dr. Phil.
Well, where do you go? And do you remember the whole Oprah garbage, the NutraSweet, all these different things that were supposed to be good for you, substitutes? Now they're all bad. Everything is bad that was good. And who are these journals? What are they doing? Why are we wasting our time? Is it peer reviewed? Is it just someone showed up in some tourist blog and all of a sudden now we're taking it as scripture? I mean, I don't know. Doctors seem to have, we've got enough professionals in the Western New York area. I don't know of anyone that said, this is going to kill you. Don't do it.
Yeah. All I can tell you is, to me, aspirin is a lifesaver because when I was having my heart attack, it was over several days, actually, as you know. But every night I would take three aspirin every single night. I'd chew them, suck them down. And what they told me at the hospital is that and drinking a lot probably saved my life.
Drinking a lot of
drinking a lot of booze. Apparently booze is a blood thinner too, or it does something to the heart. I'm not exactly sure why they said that, but I've tried to live up to that ever since.
Right. Yes.
It's vital that I do that, actually.
That and the black tar Mexican heroin that
they strongly urged against that, and I've never touched that, so that would be a good thing.
If you were to tell someone right now, if you're in danger, this is what we want to give you. What is it, nitroglycerin? They give you that. If you were taking that every night, yeah, I could totally understand where that's not something you want to take casually over dinner. It's not something you want to do every single day. But the baby aspirin is like, that's the oldest thing in the world. Everyone says World War II, they were talking about aspirin. When as soon as aspirin was invented, they were like, take it for everything.
Right. The wonder, truly the wonder drug.
Yeah.
And it does do some amazing things. It is good for so many different purposes.
And Advil and all the other groups out there, the different companies that are pushing ibuprofen, aspirin, acetaminophen, what's best for you? What do you want? Now all of a sudden it's a big deal. I don't get it.
Well, and then you know there are so many other areas that people are exploring health wise because you know I guess our basic question to you guys this hour is what do you do in order to stay healthy? What do you listen to as far as medical advice? Maybe you're a little unconventional. You know, there's two things that people are really doing a lot of out there. At least the buzz I'm catching. Number one is these essential oils. I don't quite understand the whole essential oil thing, but the idea is to use actual natural oils instead of chemical substitutes for the oils. For example, I had an insect bite on my hand, and instead of putting Benadryl on it, as I used to do, I put some essential oil on it. The itch went right away. Actually had an ache in one of my broken toes and rubbed some oil on it, and the throbbing pain went away. So, I mean, I don't know if it's psychosomatic. I don't know if there's any clinical evidence to suggest that these essential oils actually work, but I've been very happy with the results I've received from them. I mean, we're not talking about, yes, essential oils can make your broken heart better. It can heal your surgically altered heart.
Yeah, everyone has a friend that is into some homeopathic, you know, put oatmeal on your burn and it'll be better. And then there's people that believe that, you know, they can cure cancer with a weed from that they found at Letchworth.
Right.
You know, there's folks that are on all across the spectrum that believe different things work. So, I mean, hey, what am I going to argue? It doesn't work. People take placebos and feel better.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's why I wonder sometimes if it is, in fact, what I'm taking or putting on or whether it's just my mind playing tricks on me.
I go to the Woody Allen School of Medicine where I just, you know, whatever you feel better doing, people are going to say that they have. You know, they could tell their animals tell them when they have a cancerous tumor. Their cat can identify when there's a, you know, something wrong. They don't trust biopsies. They trust their lap dog who tells them, you know, you're dying or you're okay. What do you make of that?
I think there is some scientific evidence for the ability of animals to detect cancer in some people.
Would it be horrible, though, if they, you know, the dog that sits by the dying patient, and the dog just likes you and sits by your bed, and now all of a sudden you're making your last will because the dog is friendly and just wants to cuddle.
Well, and how about the dogs that can actually predict seizures in people?
And
I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are dogs out there that can actually start to tell a diabetic when the blood sugar is going low.
Listen, there are all these things. If a report came out and told you that, you know, the Bills were going to the playoffs because they medically determined that that's what was going to happen. I mean, I don't know what to believe. I'm just saying everyone on my news feed, anytime one of these stories comes out, it goes to the very top and everyone reads it. You can't say that you're, and it's water cooler talk. Hey, did you hear what they found? They found a, you know, like they just said that they cured the second AIDS patient. And a million people are saying, you know, what is it? It used to be that you pull everyone's blood out, you put it in a centrifuge, you heat the blood, you kill all the HIV cells. What is causing all of these things to happen? But whoever puts it in a journal, everyone's reading it, and they change their life overnight. A medical journal can cause someone, you've been doing this every single day, whether it's Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, and all of a sudden a journal says this will kill you, and you stop doing it immediately.
Now, for those who don't know what we're talking about, this was reported on by a lot of media everywhere. For years, low-dose aspirin has been prescribed as a panacea. That means kind of like a cure-all, to ward off heart attacks, strokes, and other cardiovascular disease, to keep it from happening. New guidelines, though, say that aspirin should not be prescribed to most adults who are in good cardiovascular health and that the risk of internal bleeding often outweighs the benefit. So for those, how many of you out there take a daily aspirin to help your cardiovascular system? How many of you are going to stop taking a daily aspirin to ward off damage to your cardiovascular system? And here's the kicker. this is only applicable to people, according to this study, this is only applicable to people who do not have signs or symptoms of heart disease, cardiovascular disease right now. If you do have cardiovascular disease, they say that you should still continue to take the aspirin. But I wonder how many of our listeners are on this aspirin regimen or what people are doing in our audience to keep themselves alive. Maybe it's alternative, maybe it's mainstream, but want to find out what you guys are doing so you're still alive to listen to us. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Those are the phone numbers on Bowerly and Bellavia, and we would like to hear from you, but only if you want to go on the air. If you don't want to go on the air, all you're going to do is aggravate Sean and Phil. You don't aggravate us, you aggravate those guys.
But you remember it was red wine every single day. Then it was, no red wine. Then pregnant women can't drink wine. Then pregnant women could drink wine. And then it was one cocktail, nothing more than that. Then no cocktails, nothing hard. Don't drink any hard liquor. There was not, we're 40 years removed from, you know, commercials that say my doctor chooses Camels. You know, like my, what cigarette should I smoke if I want the best reaction to, you know, and then there's people that are of the belief that, you know, no red meat. You shouldn't have any red meat. The vegans have won the fight where red meat is the worst thing in the world. Some people don't have any access to red meat because of where they live in the world and they're not healthy. Where do you get your protein outside of red meat? I don't know what to believe anymore. I really don't. It changes every day.
I wonder how many vegetarians we have. How many vegetarians or vegans we have in the audience? Mm-hmm. And, you know, David, I hope you'll forgive me, and I hope they will forgive me, but every time I run into somebody who's a vegetarian, they look pale and weak. I'm sorry, but they look sick.
I know a couple of vegans that are very healthy looking.
Really?
But I haven't done a sample of their stools or anything. I'm just saying that I don't know what their actual health is, but they look healthy enough. But I don't know. It seems like a let me just say, vegans, you're annoying as hell. I've never met a more annoying group of people than vegans, vegetarian. Let me tell you what I do. I don't care what you do.
It's just a tofurkey.
Well, why would you agree to go to Applebee's if you're a vegan? I don't care what the butter is. I don't know what's in the bread. I'm here to eat. It's frozen food. It's none of it's real at Applebee's.
Oh, my goodness. To the lawyers of Applebee's, the preceding comment was intended as satire, not to be taken seriously by anybody listening to the program.
I'm just saying vegans just have to tell you everything about their life and their diet, and then they put their recipes down, and it's just enough.
Okay, so are vegetarians annoying? Are the health nuts amongst us annoying the hell out of you?
There are guys that eat everything they shoot. They're hunters. They get their own food. They talk about hormones and everything else and the meat, whatever. I get it. But they're not annoying. They don't have to tell you every aspect of what they ate today. I don't care, dude. And it's like and they do it purposely because they know how annoyed I am by it.
Bowerly and Bellavia with you on a Tuesday. Let's get right to the calls as we figure out what you're doing to keep yourself healthy. How many vegans or vegetarians do we have in the listening audience? Or are you somebody who thinks that vegans and vegetarians are among the most annoying people on the world because of all of their preachiness and sanctimony and the fact that they eat better than you do? Let's go to Fred in Buffalo. Fred, you're on WBEN.
How you doing, guys? I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I take aspirin every day. I'm on, I had a heart attack and I have 2 stents. Now, I read some of the report and I heard what you guys said. If I don't have a heart attack, I don't take the medicine because I get stomach bleeding. So if I have a heart attack and need it for my vascular system, I don't get bleeding in my stomach?
No, what they're saying is, I don't know that the two are related. What they're saying is people who do not currently have any symptoms of heart disease don't need to worry about taking the baby aspirin every day. People who do have heart disease, such as yourself, who've had a heart attack, who've had stents put in, they're supposed to continue taking the aspirin.
Oh, okay. I was misunderstood. I was like, I don't get blood in my belly because I have a heart attack.
Right. Well, obviously we're not doctors here. So what does your doctor tell you?
I haven't talked to him yet. I just found out this, like, on my way home and read that this afternoon in the article. They read the whole thing. I got to call him and find out, but I'm going to still take it.
So you currently do take it, but you also did, you've had a heart attack and stents?
Well, I had a heart attack and put stents in, and they told me just to keep on taking. It was like 3 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, based only on what the articles online are saying, my understanding is that people like you and me need to keep taking it.
Okay.
But again, keep in mind, I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio.
Yes, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn.
Thank you very much.
My whole thing is that, you know, I'm not saying that a vegan is an unhealthy lifestyle, or I'm not saying it's any more healthy than, you know, I know guys. How do you explain George Burns? Every time you hear about a 112-year-old person dropping dead, they're smoking blunts, they're eating steak that's raw, they're out there. What's your secret? Bacon, grease, and hate in my heart. Like, wait a minute, that's everything we're told is horrible. I don't get how these people live to be 112. And George Burns smoked a cigar, inhaled 4 cigars a day, every day.
That is insane.
You know, unfiltered Pall Malls and all these other people drinking whiskey with their OJ juice, I meant.
not OJ Simpson.
No.
Which can leave you with a stabbing pain.
That will kill you. OJ will kill you.
It is coming up on 25 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. You are with Bowerly and Bellavia. So what is your magical elixir to health? And do we have any vegetarians listening? Or are you somebody who believes that vegans and vegetarians are extremely annoying people? Are you going to continue to take the aspirin? And, you know, how frustrating is it to not really know exactly what you are supposed to do to your body? Because as of a couple of days ago, adults were told, take a baby aspirin every day for your heart. Now we're being told, only take a baby aspirin if you've got cardiovascular disease. To which I would respond, well, wait a minute. Could taking the aspirin maybe prevent some cardiovascular disease? Because I was told I wouldn't be here unless I had taken the aspirin I took. So I'm as confused as a lot of you guys are. Yeah, baby, it is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. So no longer are you supposed to take a baby aspirin every day if you don't have any heart disease. If you do have heart disease, the doctors say you should keep on taking that daily aspirin, along with all the other wonderful medications that some of us cardiovascular patients have to take, like our statin medications and our metoprolol and all that crap. I'll tell you something. If you saw my medicine chest, you'd think I was like 80 or 90 years old. As Phil says, aren't you 80 or 90 years old? No, not quite. But thank you for thinking of me. But anyway, I'll tell you that there's something in those meds, and I'm not quite sure what it is, but there's something. All right, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And in addition to the stuff that you take, you know, are you going to have you been on this aspirin regimen? Are you going to stay on the aspirin regimen? You think that's why you are alive? And how many vegans or vegetarians do we have in the audience? Now, I've tried on a couple of occasions to go vegetarian. And honest to God, I couldn't do it. I made it a few days, and I just had the biggest craving for red meat like you couldn't believe.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I tried it. I tried it, and honest, I felt weak. I felt tired. I felt anemic, yeah. And I thought to myself, this ain't for me. Maybe it works for some people, but I can't do it.
Well, obviously, with anything, I think you just got to stick with it. But vegans swear by it. They say that their life has changed, and they love to remind us.
But it becomes a whole lifestyle for people, well, right? I mean, it becomes this proselytized. It's like people who become born again in religion.
I shouldn't have to tell by your footwear if you're a vegan or not.
Birkenstock equals vegan.
Oh.
All right, let's go to Rick on a cell phone on WBEN. Rick, you are on Bowerly and Bellavia.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Hey, two quick points regarding the vegan thing. It's Dale from that blank blank store is probably the most obnoxious personality I've ever heard on the radio. At any rate,
no, hold my beer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I could be much more annoyed, but keep going.
Okay. as far as the medical regimen goes, I've been taking aspirin for decades, all right, on a doctor's advice. And this study came out a few months back, at least that's when I first heard about it. And, you know, they're the experts. I mean, who am I to question the doctors? That's why I go to them, you know?
But see, that's the problem, is that all these experts become experts, and you just don't know what expert. I mean, your expert is an expert, and, you know, they've got thousands of patients and are doing right by them. But then someone writes in a journal, and all of a sudden all these experts are like, well, who am I listening to right now? I don't even know.
Well, I listen to the guy that I pay umpteen dollars.
You know. Right, right. That's your expert.
But, you know, doesn't it suck when, you know, the doctor down the street may give you completely contradictory advice on what to take? I mean, this is what I have found as a heart patient is I get conflicting advice for people. And finally, you know, I guess the best book to read is Heart 411, which comes out of the Cleveland Clinic.
Okay, and I'm not familiar with the publication. But, you know, and again, I treat my body like a bloated landfill, unfortunately. But
wow.
That was well done.
Diapers?
That was almost like water spitting everywhere moment.
My lunch was single-use plastic bags.
Sorry. Well, I found self-deprecating humor to be.
No, you treat it like a bloated landfill. Well played.
There you go. So at any rate, that's my point. You know, I mean, that's why I go to these guys who are professionals. If I've got to do investments, I go to that professional, you know. So
that's right, exactly.
Who do you trust?
Who do you trust? Well, you don't go to your doctor for who's going to win the game on Sunday.
That's one of our questions, though, is whom do you trust when it comes to what you're going to put into your body in terms of medication or stuff like that, especially, you know, as we talk about aspirin with cardiovascular stuff. Rick, have you ever had two doctors that told you exactly the opposite things?
Never.
See, I have. I mean, I think it happens all the time in cardiology, and I'm not sure why it does. Maybe it's just a person-specific thing as opposed to a general study rule.
Well, give me an example. What did they tell you that was?
Okay, metoprolol. Metoprolol is one of the medications that I'm supposed to take twice a day. You split one pill in half, take half in the morning, half in the evening. Well, I've had doctors say, well, you can just get away with taking half in the evening. I've had others say, nope, you got to take one in the morning and one in the evening before you go to bed. Because there are many side effects that these heart medications have, like statins. For example, they say that some of the statin meds, Rick and David, some of the statin meds actually can lead to Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
I don't think that's true. And another thing, they also said that some of the statin drugs can lead to Alzheimer's.
What?
And Alzheimer's.
Is that true?
Well, yeah.
You know, I can't question that because I keep forgetting about it anyways. Now, again, to the medical point, I was taking some medications and, you know, I went in to see the doctor one time and he goes, stop taking this. I've just been reading up on this stuff and it's useless now. So these are the guys, I mean, they're giving it due diligence, they're doing their homework, and you got to trust them.
Well, you know what I'd be interested in, Rick, is if you're concerned about your heart, your cholesterol and all that kind of stuff, I would love to find out from somebody on Repatha whether it actually works. And I don't want to get too technical, and again, I'm not a doctor, please. I mean, I know a lot about some things, and I know a little bit about other things. And Repatha is a statin medication. It is an injectable statin medication. And supposedly, and I don't know this for a fact, but this was told to me by one of my doctors, so I guess it's got to be true, that his cholesterol level went so far down. Bad cholesterol level went so far down with Repatha that it's really amazing.
You know, I don't understand why we've become so paranoid in our culture that we always have to remind people that just by sharing information, you have to preface it by saying, hey, I'm not a brain surgeon. Well, of course we're not brain surgeons, and we're getting our information from professionals. What about the messenger don't you trust? I mean, I'm telling you, I was told by a doctor, this is the pill I'm supposed to take, and I'm sharing that information with you. I have someone in my life who is constantly talking about medicine and, you know, this is what, this food is bad for you, this is good for you. Wash your hands 55,000 times. That's the secret to life. Pete Hegseth obviously hasn't gotten that memo.
No.
But the idea is that, you know, it's always about, you know, the food that you put into yourself. That has nothing to do with, you know, the time in which you eat. Of course, that's important. What you're eating is important. But there are folks that everyone has in their life that they're not doctors. They're not professionals. And yet they give advice all the time, and it's like, where are you getting this from? You're on Instagram,
yeah,
watching an expert. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, Rick and Dave, I mean, one of the problems is that we could be accused, you know, on the internet and elsewhere. I mean, I get accused of all kinds of things, which are kind of funny. But long story short, we could be accused of practicing medicine or attempting to practice medicine without a license.
Sued. Oh, yeah. How about the vitamin guys, the Kevin Trudeau's of the world? They put out a mega memory thing, and they're sued constantly. But I'm just saying, in our own lives, outside of the radio program, there's everyone in your life has someone that is, you know, constantly giving advice, and you look at them and you're like, wait a minute, you're bloated, you're tired, you fall asleep on the floor. your life isn't great.
I just call that Tuesday night.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, I drink, some people drink their dinner. That's what they do, and they'll live to be 105. You could be the healthiest guy in the world. Dr. Atkins fell over, crushed his head, you know, stretching.
Well, Rick and David, something else, too. The best words about longevity I ever heard were from the same doctor who originally taught me about aspirin many, many years ago, cardiologist by the name of Dr. David Dean. And Dr. Dean said, if you want to live a long life, you must choose your parents wisely. And he was being ironically funny, because obviously none of us can choose our parents. We're kind of born into this genetic roulette wheel, and some of us kind of get the short straw of the genetic roulette wheel and, you know, have heart attacks at 54.
True, but I mean, I guarantee you that someone is going to look at that and say, well, you know, there's you had a heart attack because, you know, you eat fatty whatever. And then someone turns around and says, well, if you only eat raw eggs all day, look, do you fear death? No one wants to die. But the same thing here is that you have a quality of life. You have your family. There's a million reasons why everyone should be on this planet and be on this planet as long as you possibly can. But, you know, something happens and you get exposed to some toxin and things don't work out. What are we supposed to do? But I mean, if we're going to live in perpetual fear, the people that talk about health and nutrition all the time, these people are living like they're afraid of everything.
Hey, Rick, where are you on vitamins and supplements? You do any of that stuff?
I do. I take D3 and B12. That's about it.
Jeez, me too.
R2-D2?
R2-D2. Nice.
C3.
My wife does all these things. She, you know,
are you a wizard?
I was going to say, are you a wizard?
Tom, only in my own mind.
Ah.
But, I mean, she exercises. She goes to the gym. She does all these things. She eats right. And, you know, again, I allude to what I referred to myself earlier. And she's always got a cold or whatever. So it's just, you know, I mean, the luck of the draw, physiology, genetics, who knows?
Oy. All right. Well, Rick, thanks very much. Good to hear from you. And obviously, sir, you'll want to talk to your doctor before taking any making any changes to your own personal situation, okay?
Will do.
And make sure to have a light jacket with you when the springtime comes.
Hey, you know, I'll see you music on Maine.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it.
Isn't that true, though? It's always the people that are, like, so concerned. You know, they're yoga. They're doing spin class. And they're, like, constantly, like, sneezing. There's a guy that... Well, we work with someone who has been coughing for 17 months. I don't know what's wrong, but they're constantly sneezing and coughing, and it's like, what's going on here?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that, I think, number one, it's inside allergies. I do definitely believe there are things like contaminated buildings. There's not a doubt in my mind that contaminated buildings exist. A lot of people will put new carpet down, I'm talking about real, genuine floor carpet. A lot of people will put carpet down, wall-to-wall carpet, and they'll start to wheeze and sneeze and have allergic reactions because of some of the chemicals that are being released. The same thing with the so-called new car smell, all the plastic. Some people get sick with their new car smell.
The new car smell is slowly killing us. No, you're absolutely right. There's our work can make us sick. The people we work with can make you sick. If you're in the fluctuation, the temperatures certainly don't help. And also, a lot of people eat food that's been sitting out for, I mean, how many times have you seen the food out in the bistro? You know, I had a situation on the weekend show where a guy made a plate of that. It was sitting out there for 3 days, Sunday.
Yeah.
The food was out there on a Friday morning, and he made a plate on a Sunday morning and had a stomach bomb. It was like a suicidal stomach bomb moments after he ate the hummus and the chicken. Remember, it was during, you know, when we had the Greek food out there.
Oh, yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
The pitas and everything. He ate that 3 days. No refrigeration, no heat, just out there, hummus sitting out there like just nasty, and ate it and just imploded right in front of me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had to carry him off the field of battle.
Good
it was like
grief.
It was horrible.
Damn. All right, it is 4:48 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Aspirin, we're now being told if you don't have a heart condition, you don't have to take your aspirin a day. If you do have a heart condition, that you're supposed to continue to take the aspirin a day. So, you know, it just seems like we're always getting this conflicting information from the medical community, which is somewhat disconcerting, I think. And, you know, maybe you're a doctor listening and you can tell us how frustrating it is for a doctor to have to deal with people like us who tell people about what is going on in the world of medicine and the journals that are intended to educate people, because sometimes I walk away from the articles feeling like I was stupider than I was before I started to read them. So, David, I brought up vitamins before, and does David Bellavia take a daily vitamin? Does David Bellavia supplement his nutrition in any way?
Yeah, you know, not as consistently as I probably should, but if I see him around, you know, those edible vitamins became like the rage. They're like
Edible vitamins. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, they're like the gummy thing.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be easier. They taste good. You pop a few in, whatever. Much better than those horse tranquilizers they used to. Remember those antioxidants that looked like you were in Woodstock?
Take them every day.
Black Beauties or whatever they were?
Take them. I take the multivitamin every day, and it's a very depressing day when you have to find the Centrum Silver. Okay, it's a very depressing day, Phil. Don't worry. You'll be there soon enough. Oh, now I get to take the old people vitamin. The good news is you can get the senior discount at some places, so that's kind of cool. So anyway, the daily vitamin, and I also do the B vitamin supplementation and the D vitamin supplementation. And what I've been told by a few doctors, and again, this is what doctors have told me, I'm not a doctor. Actually, one of these days I'd like to go to medical school, then come back to radio to say, actually, I am a doctor. But that the vitamin D is especially important to take when you are living in Buffalo, because let's face it, in all honesty, we don't get a lot of sunshine in Buffalo. It's not Seattle, but...
Wait, but Solar City is here.
That's why the project made such sense to me from the get-go. So, you know, we don't get a lot of sun here. So that is thought to be possibly one of the reasons why we have so many autoimmune diseases in Western New York, because we're not getting enough vitamin D from the sun. So I've had doctors advise me, yes, you want to take a vitamin D supplement. So I've been doing that for quite some time. And as far as the multivitamins, I know that people say, oh, they don't really work. They don't do anything for you. You know what I say to that, David? I say poppycock, because what I've noticed since taking the poppycock or horse hockey. What I say to those people is that, look, what I've noticed, and this is just me, I've noticed my nails grow faster, my hair grows faster. It seems to fuel some of the body's baser functions. And you know what? I'm all about fueling the baser functions of the body.
Whatever it takes. You can hand someone a sugar pill and just say, take five of these a day. Everything's going to work out. It's all about your, you know, I know plenty of people that are healthy and miserable, and I know plenty of miserable people that, are happy, or I should say happy people that are unhealthy, and miserable people that are whatever. I know people, okay? And there are walking contradictions everywhere. People who smoke are some of the happiest people I've ever met. People that are, you know, non-smokers and eat right and are healthy and exercise are miserable. And then you've got the mix in between. What are you going to do? If it's your time, if you knew the day you were going to die, would you want to know?
I would, actually.
Yeah.
Because it would make travel planning a lot easier. Make retirement planning a lot easier.
But, I mean, what would you do now that you're not doing?
If I knew that, it would depend on the date of death. I mean, if the date of death was going to be within
Tuesday, you're going to die Tuesday.
If I'm going to die Tuesday, you won't see me the rest of the week.
So, well, it's like the lottery, right?
Exactly.
So if you're going to die on Tuesday, what would you knock into your life between now and Tuesday?
I would say
a week from today,
as much debauchery and licentiousness as humanly possible.
What if on the other side of heaven, that's all there is?
Licentiousness and debauchery?
But the feelings that you get from debauchery and just, what if that is just that thing that you're chasing is all that heaven exists? That feeling just fills your heart.
Well, on the off chance it isn't, I better get mine here, just in case.
So, all right, so that's knocked out. What else are you going to do? You're going to empty your bank account?
Absolutely.
Give it to charity?
Because you're giving me a week to live?
A week to live.
Oh, no, it's going to be nonstop party city at the Bowerly household. There will be live music being played 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by every live local band.
What if the next Tuesday it ends like the Gambino guy?
I know it's going to end like that.
Would you do something to avoid that?
Well, if it was pre destined? That's a very interesting question, but it's 3 minutes to the top, and we better take a break here at WBEN.
Spam or lamb?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.